Today's message is more like a trailer than it is a message. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You say we've already had about a dozen messages. I hear what you said. Amen. But today is more like a trailer. More like a what?
Trailer.
Like a trailer that we have oftentimes for a movie or so. And so I wanted to share this particular diagram because I have once heard that some people among us, they want to know, well, where are you going? I need to know where you're going. Where is this message going? What is your point that you're trying to highlight, that you're trying to bring out? And so, if you will, I want to share with you this in its totality. You see, first of all, at the top, we have Help You Shine. Help you what?
Shine.
In the year 2022, we have launched a vision all year long that what our desire is to help you shine. To help you what?
Shine.
Turn to your neighbor and say, we want to
help you shine.
Right? And so, therefore, wherever we're going, Pastor Holly said, we have entered into a new season, and that is so on point. But we haven't left or gone away from what we've already set in motion. And the first one is that this year we want to help you what? The way that we've configured on how to do that, though, to help you shine, is by us going through what we call our vision and values. By going through our vision and values, because we believe that if you were to really culminate the vision and the values that we have, that you would shine. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so therefore, it brings us to this particular new season. It brings us to this particular setting that we have launched, and I mean, we paid so much money, we made t-shirts out of it. I can't get any help up in here, amen? And so therefore, we're wearing t-shirts that says, welcome to BCC, because we want you to know that this phrase is not just some hospitable, though that's one of our core values, it's not just something that we say that's, you know, well, we want you to feel okay being here. No, it's actually, is as Pastor Jeremy shared, it is packed when and latent with meaning. Now let me get this through you all right quick. Y'all understand I haven't spoken in a long time. Are y'all with me? You said some of y'all say, I don't even know if you're still pastor here. I get what you're saying, amen. But one thing is true, y'all gonna have to get with me. I don't care how long I don't care if it's a short trailer or a long trailer, y'all need to bring in a praise the Lord. Are you with me?
Praise
Thank
the Lord.
You. Somebody need to say
amen.
Glory to God. Y'all can be sophisticated when Pastor Jeremy preach. Amen. I need y'all to holler back at a brother. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So we want you to understand that if we are welcome to BCC, I already know that I cannot share the totality of the study that I want to share, but I believe that it's an inspiring word. And as a result of it being an inspiring word, I hope that on this day of welcome to BCC, we can give you a trailer that might make you appetize just enough that you might want to come back for the real deal. Oh, y'all didn't see what I just did there, did you see me? I mean, you know, a trailer is meant to get you to watch the whole movie. And so I want you to come back for the details, because you not only want to see the glimpses of things, but you also want to understand how this unfolds. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So read it from like clockwork, if you will. We want to help you.
Shine.
And the way we want to do that is by providing our
And
therefore, we've entered into a brand new season. We want all of you all, everyone. I want you to take it back to your hometown if you have to. What I want you to do is we want everybody to know that you are
welcome to BCC.
Welcome to BCC. Amen. So here is what we hope to be an inspiring word that may come pretty fast at you. Next screen, if you will. Everybody turn their Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 9, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I hope to get it out with some form of clarity. Again, we're just going to read it right now. So Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 13, it says this. New King James says this. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. He said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy." I desire what? "And not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If you will, can I get you to jump down to verse 35? Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And everybody said, "Amen."
Amen.
Praise God. I know we have been using our hands and clapping and praising God quite a bit today, but I want to ask a wonderful man of God who I would consider to be a dad, likewise unto me, though he is Brother Jeffrey's father, with John Wyatt, who has preached here before. We're just going to have you pray, if you don't mind, John, if you would. Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Over the word. You could hit that button on the side there, though. Yep, that one. Is it red? Green?
No.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we just ask that we have ears to hear the word that's preached to us this morning, Father, that we be doers of the word and not hearers only, Father, that it would make change in our life and that we would be able to affect the world around us for you, and we just give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Next screen, if you will. When we talk about help you shine is to help you shine with people. Is to help you shine in Christ Jesus, is to help you shine in your purpose, and to help you shine as a person. All of those unfolded in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Something that we haven't shown, at least the rest of the body, but to our leaders we know that help you shine is what we call a thematic goal, and with that thematic goal are these objectives in order to fulfill help you shine, is that we would learn how to walk in boldness. That we learn how to walk in what?
Boldness.
Brother Eric, that we learn how to walk in boldness. And one of the things we've already said, but the proper word of this is embody. If we would embody the truth, if we would embody the vision and the values, if we would embody the scriptures, if we would embody who Jesus is and him walking in us and up and down us and the Holy Spirit empowering us, we would embody. How many know if you would embody God, you would shine? How many know if you would embody God? Let me say it again. I'm talking about not TikTok. I'm talking about truth talk. I'm not talking about what you have on a social media platform, but what you would have in the scriptures. If the word of God was to be embodied in you, you would not be without, you would not lack, you would not go in a missing, but you would have who he is living on the inside of you. I know you're going to get with me. I said, we are designed to be trailblazers. Trailblazers. Trail what? How many understand if you're a trailblazer, you might walk through the stickets. You might walk through where there is no path. You might have to duck some branches and step over some poison something. But what you understand, when you've been given a divine enablement and a grace of God to go first, is because God has ordained you to go first, because there is others waiting to follow. My God. Jesus wants us to be trailblazers. How many know when you shine, you're a trailblazer? Go to the next screen, if you will. The way we're going to do so is to visit our vision and values. To visit our what?
Vision.
Go to the next one. Yes, every single one of those that is highlighted somehow is composed in the message. Somehow this particular word that is more holistic and has totality to it. These are our values, and our values, these 10 values, I'm going to have you read those with me, at least the yellow ones, but we are the heart of God in our world, and it's so often that you hear teachers, preachers, scholars, book writers use this phrase, heart of God, and what does it mean? The heart of God. Well, for us, we mean this. We want to be Holy Spirit what? You know, to be the heart of God, we want to be free in?
Christ.
We want to be free in what?
Christ.
Let me understand, even if it's a secret bondage, you still deep down inside want to be free.
Come on.
Let me know, you can smile and raise your hand and say amen, but if you've got something that has you bound, you still want to be what?
Free.
You still want to be free. How many know bitterness can be binding?
Yes.
Oh, I'm starting to get amens up in this house, amen. How many understand unforgiveness can sometimes get with you? And how many know just because, you know, this is not a truth, time does not heal. Ooh, that was good. I even saw a young lady make a face on that one, man. Wait a minute. How many know time does not heal? I don't think anything in Scripture says time heals. How many know what time does? Time just separates from when it happened. Only God can heal. Turn to your neighbor and say, only God can heal. You know what? Avoidance doesn't heal.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than you shouting in this place. Amen. But that was all free. Amen. We want to learn how to be hospitable. We want to be what?
Hospitable.
Come on, it's worth your Sunday to be here. We're going to get to that good food out there. We're going to get to those games. But how many know is wanting to be able to be hospitable? What it means to have mercy strategies. Everybody say mercy strategies.
Mercy strategies.
One more time.
Mercy strategies.
Jump down to the other one. Everyone what? Pray. Everyone what?
Pray.
I'm going to say this statement so that it can get down in your spirit. It all starts with prayer. I can tell you testimony after testimony, my bride and I, had some phenomenal testimonies, some God encounters this past week with people, and it all started with what?
Prayer.
It all starts with what?
Prayer.
It all starts with prayer. I'm more convinced than ever before that it all starts with prayer. What we want you to understand when we say welcome to BCC, this is a key right here, is that everyone plays. Everyone what? That's a key right there. Listen, if you want to be at the type of church where you get to sit in the back or you get to be quiet or you get to sit in a corner, you come and you go, you know. Some members say, I used to come late not to be bothered and I leave early not to be seen. Are you with me? If that's the kind of church that you're looking for, we can find a good one for you, I promise you. But if I see you, I might call you out. Are you with me? It's a benefit. It's a blessing to be in a small community. You know what? We might come get you. You might preach today. Are you with me? Amen. So all I'm trying to say to you is that everyone plays. Everyone what?
Plays.
We believe that everyone heals. Everyone what?
Heals.
And we want to learn how to be supernatural in services and in streets. Go to the next one. So here we are at what we want to call Welcome to BCC. Can I get you to say that out loud, as loud as you can? Ready, set, go.
Welcome to BCC.
One more time.
Welcome to BCC.
Amen, amen. Welcome to BCC. I wish I had the time to go around the room. Be careful, we might do that at some point. What does Welcome to BCC mean to you? Some of y'all been here 2 years, 3 years. Some of y'all have been here for 10 years. But how many know over the course of years, when we say welcome to BCC, that means something? Come on, that's right, right? If we say welcome to BCC, it means something. But I want you to understand this one point, only because this is a trailer, and that means we want to get you out of your comfort zone. Amen. Notice that we got one amen. We got one amen, and somebody that went like this, all right? The thing we want to do, Jude, more than anything else is to get you out of your what?
Comfort zone.
You see, when we say welcome to BCC, we mean we want to get you out of your?
Comfort.
We want to get you out of your what?
Comfort zone.
Because what's behind getting you out your comfort zone, or what's just ahead of getting you out of your comfort zone, is what all of us really desire. But we may be stuck in our comfort zone, so therefore it's more of a wish than it is a fulfillment. You see, in order to get out of our comfort zone, a comfort zone in all of these diagrams gets you to the place where you get to see the things that you dream about, where you get to reach and receive those things that you've always wanted, you wished you could have. And so I want you to begin to think about and consider, because something, that's getting ahead. That's not in the trailer. Oh, man. Can y'all tell y'all I was about to get fired up right there, amen? Welcome to BCC. One of the things I want you to hear is we want to get you out of your what?
Comfort.
So I want to say it this way. When we had the stage and everything was up here, I preached a message once, had this diagram up here and had all of this, and then I couldn't leave outside of it, but I had things I desired on the outside of it, and when I get to the edge of it, I couldn't attain those things. And that's when I began to take on this thought that I want to be a comfort zone destroyer. Amen. I'm desiring. Come on, Sister Carly, you know that's right, amen. You one of those ones that like to stay shy and hide back. But you know what? I want to be a comfort zone what? Praise God. I know some of y'all hide from me. You know what? Some of y'all, when I say, well, we need a volunteer, you start hiding your eyes. Listen, if you duck your head, it's a guarantee you're coming up here. Amen. Because I'm after you growing. Amen. Say comfort zone.
Comfort zone.
Go to the next screen, if you will. I want to share with you a message. This is the inspiring word of the Lord to defy gravity. To defy gravity. Woo, look at that. I never had that. That's just, everybody's quiet. To defy gravity. To defy what?
Gravity.
To defy gravity. You see, gravity, we can't escape it. You've experienced gravity whenever you've dropped something, tripped and fell to the ground, or just stood in one place while the earth spins at an incredible rate, yet you don't fly off. How does this work? The force of gravity pulls you. It does what? And everything else towards the core of the earth. Without it, we would just float into space. I want you to think about this concept, is that without gravity, we would not be able to stay put. But how many understand the converse of that is because of gravity, you can't go anywhere. In other words, because of gravity, then you can't sometimes go up. Are you with me? Keep going. Gravity. Defying gravity means to defy what is the natural. What is the what?
Natural.
The norm, the expectation of you. Doing what you dream of and ignoring everything that says you can't. There are people that you will meet who say the things are impossible, but what does God say?
Amen.
I'm preaching better. Come on. All I'm trying to get you to understand is as a result of gravity, as a result of what?
Gravity.
Can be anything that holds you down, that holds you back, that keeps you out. And anything that holds you down means you can't go up. Anything that holds you back means you can't go forward. And when you can't do anything but going up, you can't go forward, you get stuck. And when you get stuck and settled sometimes in a comfort zone. And then that comfort zone becomes your zone, but your zone never becomes what you can reach on God's call. You see, what we need to learn how to do is defy gravity. We need to learn how to do what?
Defy gravity.
Where are you going, Pastor? Here's the background story. I'll do it by heart. I wrote it down. In May, Anna Maria and I were on a flight, and I happened to have the window seat. And as I was there on the window seat, the pilot comes over, the microphone, and does Mitch of his orientation of what he's going to do and what the flight will be like and everything like that. And I don't know, I think I was, you know, on my phone looking at something, maybe reading something. Every now and then I'm talking to Anna Maria, and all of a sudden we get to the place of the runway. And I just happened to peek out the window. And as I peeked out the window, I saw the wing go down. I saw the wing, the back part of the wing went down. And me not having engineering or any aerospace background, I just said, wow, what is that? And then he pushed it and he took off. And then I just kept watching that wing, and we soared into the air. And then as we soared in the air, then that same wing that was down, then that flap came up and leveled off. Is anybody with me? I grab my iPad and I start writing. What I realize is this, is that, you know, this plane was not just flying. It had defied gravity. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, we can think of it as, oh man, that's beautiful that the plane is able to fly. And many of us may not think about it like me. I just get on and make sure, you know, because I can't fly the lick. Are you with me? But what I realize is that, wait a minute, while we think about flying, there's something else that we need to learn to do as people. In order to fly, we need to also learn how to defy. We need to learn how to defy gravity, because gravity is something that would keep the plane on the ground. So when you come up to something that you want to soar for God about, when you come to something you want to soar in your relationship about, when you want to come up and soar in your finances, and you want to soar in the righteousness of God, and you want to soar in being spirit-filled, and when you want to soar in the things that God puts in front of you, that's unimaginable, that's impossible. You not only want to fly, you've got to learn how to defy the gravity that would hold you back, hold you down where you can't get up and you cannot go forward. Give the Lord a praise offering. Because rather, if I'm articulating it well or not, how many of you all can relate that there are some things in your life you have not been able to achieve because you've been stuck, stowed down on the ground? My God. Some of us have been in difficult situations, self-perpetual habits, and all of this sometimes, I'm looking at it, paralleling it to being stuck on the ground. But you know how you have to get out of it? You've got to learn how to defy gravity. You got to learn how to what?
Defy gravity.
No, listen, you don't just need to fly. You need to learn how to defy gravity. You see, if you think you just can fly, but you don't ever deal with what's holding you down. How many understand? I've watched a few videos in my studies, and there was a whole lot of trial runs before they kept falling to the ground. How many understand they kept falling to the ground? They kept what?
Falling to the ground.
I don't care if they went up high. You dealt with falling to the ground. Have you ever tried to do something in your life and all you keep doing is failing? Have you ever tried something and you keep making a mistake? Have you ever been in a situation where you keep trying to do it God's way and you get disappointed? You get discouraged? I say that what we need to learn how to do is to defy gravity. You see, as we come to a near close of this, go to the next screen. I want to read this scripture from the Passion Translation. And I want you to see what it says here, and then I want to see how I can close this out. Jesus got into the boat, saying the same things. Jesus got into the boat and returned to what was considered his hometown, Capernaum. Just then, some people brought a paraplegic man to him, lying on a sleeping mat. How many know if you're lying on a sleeping mat, you're what? You're what? And when Jesus perceived the strong faith, perceived the strong what?
Faith.
Within their hearts. He said to the paralyzed man, "My son, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Your sins have been forgiven." These words prompted some of the religious scholars to think, why? That's nothing but blasphemy. Jesus supernaturally, Jesus what? Supernaturally perceived their thoughts, supernatural in services and streets, and said to them, "Why do you carry such evil in your hearts?" How many know there's always haters in the house? "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or stand up." Stand what? How many know when we're down, we need somebody to say what?
Stand up.
Stand up. He said, stand up. How many know he'd been down for a long time? He said, "Stand up and walk." Immediately the man what? Sprang to his feet and left for home. And when the crowds witnessed this miracle, they were awestruck. They shouted praises to God because he had given such authority to human beings. I wish we would just take the word in and eat it. Listen at this. Because Jesus was there, a man was down, and he had been paralyzed for years. And Jesus caused him to get up. I said, Jesus caused him to what?
Get up.
Go to the next screen. As Jesus left, he came upon a tax collecting station where a Jewish man named Matthew was collecting taxes for the Romans. "Come follow me," Jesus said to him. Immediately, Matthew jumped up. Immediately, he did what?
Jumped up.
You see, I can't make this up. How many know when Jesus calls, there ought to be a response? I'm going to say it over in this side. Hey, Regine, how you doing, girl? Listen, when Jesus calls, we ought to do what? How many understand when Jesus calls, sometimes like, you talking to me? Well, I got to pray about you getting up first, Jesus. How many know when you hear the voice of Jesus, when you hear the whisper of his voice, when you prompt something, when you just read a scripture and you say, "I want what's in that scripture," God is asking for you to jump up. When I saw that wing tilt down, that man punched that, and we began to go forward. And once we went forward, then we went up. All I'm saying, when we hear Jesus, we ought to what? Jump up. Look what it says. He says, "Come follow me," said to him. Immediately he jumped up and began to follow Jesus. Jesus went to Matthew's house and made himself at home. Many other tax collectors and outcasts within the Ames community, outcasts within the region, outcasts of the rest of the norms, were invited to eat with Jesus and his disciples. And when those known as the Pharisees saw that what was happening, they were indignant. And they kept asking Jesus' disciples, "Why would your master dine with such low lives?" How many know low, say low.
Low.
How many understand if you might sometimes, you might feel low. You might smile, but you might feel low. You may not call or consider yourself the low life, but if you're walking around and you're feeling low, how many understand you need to come up? How many understand if you've been, come on, if you know you've been trying to get up and those around you consider you to be an outcast, a low life, how many understand it has been proven by research that you start believing what others might say? All I'm saying to you is that Jesus, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, I'm gonna ring this thing trailer in now. But Jesus what? Jesus comes and lifts us up. Jesus does what? He
lifts us up.
Go to the next screen, if you will. Two screens down. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, my God. I want y'all to see that picture right there. It says, oh, the possibilities. Oh, the what?
Possibilities.
Come on, I'm going to close this out. Oh, the what?
Possibilities.
You can come and play, Peter. Oh, the what? You see, all the possibilities. There are many people that are saying to you, there might be things that you might even think about yourself. There might be things that are going on in your life that are so difficult, so hard, that you think what's been put before you is an impossibility. But I want everybody to remember the word of the Lord. What's impossible with man is not impossible with God. For everything is made possible with Jesus Christ. And though it's impossible with man, and though it's impossible with you by yourself, all things, I said all things, become possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is he who is able to make you get up, raise up. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. How do I know this, Pastor? Pastor, how do you know this? Say, try to fly. Say, try to fly. My God, try to fly. If you just try to fly, that means there are some things you need to do to take some risk in faith. There are some things you need to be encouraged enough to get out of your situation. You see, I know what they said. I was with this gentleman once from India, and he was towing the same analogy in his culture and country that we do in ours, because it doesn't matter what culture or country it comes from. He said, you know, if you put a chain on an elephant. I said, wait, that's not how ours go. But his was an elephant. He said, if you put a chain on an elephant, he says, but then you take the chain off, that elephant still won't go past where that chain was. Are you with me? You see, we need to know that I am not chained, I'm not held in bondage, because Jesus Christ has set me free, and whom the word says has been set free. We are free indeed. I will not be limited by my past. I will not be limited by society. I will not be limited by my faults. I will not be limited by my bad experiences. I will not be limited by my physical condition. I will allow Jesus to cause me to fly and defy gravity in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a praise offering right quick. Come on, will you do it? I don't want you to miss these details. Look at that little boy. Oh my God. That little boy is looking what? Come on. You might not be here next week, but I invite you to come see the movie. You see, that little boy, he's looking what? He's looking what? How many understand you go where you look? I said you go where you look. You said you go where you look. If you look down, you go down. If you look sideways, you go sideways. But when we learn how to look up, we learn how to what? Here's the end of the message. Listen, you see what I learned in this study is this. Airplanes don't actually defy gravity. They don't actually defy gravity. It's called an airplane. It's called a what?
Airplane.
Can you go to the next screen? Or the one that has the vision? No, go, keep going. You see, an airplane's wings, when their wings tilt back, it's because of the flow. And when the air flows, that means more air goes over the wings and goes backwards, but more air gets caught in the under part of it, and then it lifts it up. You see, when you get more air underneath you by looking up, that's what causes the plane to lift up. You see what I, oh, you don't get what I'm saying. What is an air? What is wind? The Holy Ghost. I said it's the Holy Spirit. When you learn how to look up and tilt back, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, to carry you, because then you get lifted up. You may not know how you lift it up. You may not know how you go forward. You need not know that. All you need to know, Jesus says in John chapter 3, the wind bloweth and you know not where it come from. I don't need to understand how it happens, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. And when the wind comes, he'll lift me up. And that's how I learned how to defy gravity. That's how I learned to defy gravity. Stand to your feet. Perhaps you need to know that you need to stop pretending like something's not holding you down. Maybe we need to stop pretending. And stop, maybe, you know what, some of us, we're mad. because things is holding us back. Some of us are mad at society and mad at people. Some of us are making excuses. I want to ask you, remember what the scripture says about the dedication? Except you accept the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter into it. I want to ask you, can you start not looking at the things in this world and start looking at Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith? I can almost guarantee you when we get distracted from seeing Jesus, turbulence begins. We find ourselves, do you know one of the things that the Wright brothers couldn't do is when they kept falling and failing is because they couldn't have control. You see, if I just keep my eyes on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith, I don't have time for politics. I don't have time for trends and bends of society. I need to try to fly in order to get to the dreams that God's put inside of me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I can't tell you the whole story, but I want to bring something to tears. You know, this past week, I told Anna this. I said, I don't know what happened to me, but something broke off of me. I said, something really broke off of me. I can't remember when it happened. I don't know how it happened, but I do know that I haven't been myself. I've been hurting. I've been angry. I've been skeptical. I've been trying to walk on eggshells. I've been doing all these crazy things that is nowhere near me. And this week, all of a sudden, I was in an environment where I was loved. I was in an environment where you're believed in. You're in an environment where you can see Jesus more clearly. You're in an environment where you can try to fly. And I woke up one morning, and it broke off of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Every eye closed. Every heart open. Jesus, how do we defy gravity? How do we tilt back like this little boy and let the engine lunge us forward? And as we move forward, like Matthew followed Jesus, how will the Holy Spirit lift us up? Lift us up above the fray. Lift us up above the muck and the mire. Lord, break off of us those things that hold us down. Invisible chains and bondages. Self-limiting habits. Things we put it into our mouths and things that we sometimes smoke and places that we sometimes go and things that we sometimes are watching on screens, God. Sometimes things that we are harboring in our hearts, God. We desire to be a people that are the heart of God in our world. So pray that we defy gravity. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Can I get you to put your hand right now as we close on the person nearest you? Just put them on their shoulder. Ask them first, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Just ask them all over the building right now. If you're at home, come on, do it with your children, do it with your spouse, your coworker. Just put your hand on them and repeat after me. I pray for you because it all starts with prayer. That you begin to defy gravity. By asking Jesus to lift you up. For every generation, I pray that we would be lifted up because Jesus was lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all people unto me. And you did that in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise offering right now. Hallelujah. Father, we ask that you would bless today's meal, today's community event. May we just have a joyous and a wonderful time. We thank you, God, for the meal, the food that's being prepared, all of our leaders, our staff, Aunt Vanessa, and all the work that has gone into it. We're going to have a joyous time because we want to be welcome to BCC. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. We're dismissed.